You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Spirited moment on this unofficial first day of summer. Spirited morning is what I meant to say. Welcome you back for another hour here live from the Seaport. Brought to you by Chase. Zach is ready to go. Amari's knocking down shots for us. Huge crew put together. Let's go. It's time to get up because we are T-minus 2 days and counting to the NBA Finals. Do the Celtics have the Steph stopper? And could he be the difference over the next 2 weeks? Meanwhile, is it Tatum's turn for a title? Jason has been chasing. Would a ring be the thing that puts him at the very top of the world? We've got you covered from every possible direction. And we're keeping it 100. It's that many days till kick. You've got that many questions. We've got that many answers. Let's do it. Let's get up starting right now. And it begins with Game 7, the best words in all of sports. We had one Sunday night. We had a big one Monday night. Hurricanes, Rangers for all the marbles. Pick it up early first. Rangers on a power play. You got Alexi Lafreniere. Going to find a streaking Adam Fox. And Fox, the wrister for the goal. As Rangers take the all-important 1-0 lead. Now we're in the, later in the period, Rangers back on a power play here. And you got Mika Zibanejad taking the shot. And you got Chris Kreider tipping it in. Just take a look at the concentration from Kreider in front of the net. Rangers, the 2-0 lead. And then it gets worse for Carolina. Goalie Antti Raanta sprawling out to make a save. But take a look. He's down. He's in pain. And unfortunately, he would not get up. He would leave with a lower body injury. And the Rangers would take full advantage of his absence. Now we're in the third. The Rangers have a 3-0 lead, and they're looking to put it away. It's Kreider. Look at the speed. Goes to the backhand side, and it's Kreider, the fourth Ranger to score multiple goals in a Game 7. And the Rangers survive in advance. They win it 6-2. They'll take on the two-time defending champion Lightning in the Eastern Conference Finals, which begin tomorrow night. You'll see them here on ESPN. Rangers, fourth team ever to win multiple best of sevens in a single season after trailing by multiple games. The five straight wins in elimination games ties the franchise's longest streak. They did that back in 2014. They made the cup final that year. Will they do it again? We will see. So that's the hockey. Now to the hoops. The finals are ready. They get underway Thursday night, and the Celtics will be looking for their 18th championship after their revenge tour in the East. They beat the Nets, they beat the Bucks, they beat the Heat. Those are the teams that eliminated them in the past three postseasons. Meanwhile, the Warriors are back in the finals for the sixth time in the last 8 years. Klay Thompson himself has made it to six straight finals in seasons that he has played. And Golden State's the favorite. And one of the key factors for Boston will be whether or not they can slow down the great Steph Curry, who is likely to be defended a lot of the time by the Defensive Player of the Year. That's Marcus Smart. Here's Steve Kerr talking about him.
He's got an incredible feel for the game at that end. He's like the guard version of Draymond. He's quick enough to chase point guards around. Big enough to guard wings, so he can literally guard one through five in the modern game.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Yeah, and look, Smart has held Curry to 29% from the floor as the closest defender in his career. That ranks fourth out of 90 qualified defenders dating back to 2013 and 14, which is the beginning, I guess, of the Steve Kerr era. And that's significant, but it's only so significant because they don't play each other all that much and all the rest of that. So let's give the fans something to look for, Amari, because the conversation is going to be, can they keep Smart on him? The Warriors move so much and so well without the ball and setting all those screens and all of that. They're going to try and find matchups that you don't like. Give the fans something to look for as far as how Smart is doing, staying on Steph Curry and then guarding him.
Well, Smart's going to try to do whatever he can and stay in contact with Steph Curry, right? You want to keep contact with him. When the screen comes, you want to try to fight over the screen and get back in front of your man. But the thing is about with Golden State Warriors is that they move so much. So Steph Curry would set a bat screen on, you know, let's say Jordan Poole, for an example, and then cut to the basket.
Right.
And while your defense is trying to figure out, are we going to switch or not, he's at the basket for a layup. So all those type of actions, all that movement is difficult for a player to guard. And Steve Kerr's a masterful coach. Like, he knows how to get Steph Curry open. And so they're going to go over offensive plays and figure out situations where they're going to put Curry in the best position to score.
See, that's what I love doing, is giving the fans specific things to look for. Because is it overstating it, Big Perk? Let me get you on this. Is it overstating it to say Marcus Smart on Steph Curry is the most important matchup of these NBA Finals?
No, it is. And Marcus Smart is the biggest X factor. But look, Greeny, Amari, Zach, let's not overthink this, right? We see the clips running. We see Marcus Smart drawing offensive fouls on Steph Curry because he's top blocking. We hear Steve Kerr talking about Marcus Smart. So you know what that tells me? Is that Marcus Smart is living rent-free in the Warriors organization head, and that he's a topic of discussion in that film room this morning, and they know that he's going to be a problem. We're talking about the defensive player of the year, one that I voted for. Greeny, I don't know if you voted for him, but I know Zach Lowe did. And so when I look at Marcus Smart and I think about his IQ in basketball, I'm like, listen, yes, you could go out there and you could put together a game plan, but at the end of the day, the game is won between those lines. And when you have a versatile defender like Marcus Smart with a high IQ, guess what? He could solve all those problems, whether it's pin downs, pick and rolls, whatever the actions is, that guy is a problem with it.
First of all, did you vote for him for Defensive Player of the Year?
Nope.
Who did you vote for?
Bam Adebayo.
Okay, fair enough. So that's topic
on
one.
You.
They've already taken care of him. Now let's go to topic number two. Do you agree that this is the matchup that will, I don't want to overstate it, the most important matchup of the NBA Finals, the most important factor will be that Smart has, and he's right. I mean, what Big Perk is saying is right. Gave you the stats. He has given Steph as hard a time as anyone has given Steph. Is that the most important factor in this year's Finals?
I think it's the most important matchup, and I don't think those numbers are a fluke. I mean, Steve Kerr said he's the Draymond of guards. That's the highest compliment Steve Kerr can give a defensive player. And as Hembo alerted us a couple weeks ago on Hembo's Sneaky Trivia, the Celtics are the only team in the NBA with a winning record against the Warriors in the Steve Curry era. That's not an accident. That's in part because Marcus Smart is a really great matchup for Stephen Curry, and they're loaded with big wings who can switch and play all kinds of different defenses. But as Amari said, guarding Steph is not a one-man job because Steph is five different players in 15 seconds. He's a pick-and-roll ball handler. Then he's Ray Allen curling off screens. Then he's screening. All of that stuff requires all five guys on a string, switching, all that stuff. So it's not just him, but the Celtics are well-equipped to do all that.
That's right. And that is the primary reason I like Boston, because Amari, having just watched them, and you just coached against them right at the beginning of this postseason, they're not just Marcus Smart. He is a great individual defender. The reason that whoever didn't vote for him didn't for Player of the Year is because their defense is so team-oriented, right? They stay together and are connected on that end of the floor as well as any team in the league. How critical is that in this matchup against Golden State?
Well, it's important. I mean, team defense is the key. And I think Perk said it earlier within the show is that when championships are won on the defensive end. And I think the key matchup for me is not Curry and Smart. It's actually Draymond Green and Tatum.
Oh.
I think when you look at the matchup of Draymond Green guarding Jason Tatum, Draymond Green is probably one of the best defensive players in the league also.
Yeah.
And you're playing against a guy who's trying to make a name for himself and become an NBA champion. So that matchup between those two guys, they're similar in size, they're similar in strength, And so they both are versatile, and to see that matchup is interesting.
Well, I love it. Let's actually lock in on that a minute here, okay? Because this is the third time a charm for Jason Tatum, right? He is finally headed to his first NBA Finals after being named the most valuable player of the Eastern Conference Finals. Go ahead and roll that if we can. Tatum has had a fabulous run during this postseason, and the numbers that he has put up have just been spectacular. Tatum is the sixth player in NBA history to average 25 points, 5 rebounds, and 5 assists entering the finals before the age of 25. He's the first since LeBron James in 2007. 3 of the 5 previous players went on to win the title that year. So you see, this is the kind of stuff that Tatum is doing. And so based on what you just said, Amari, I want to circle back to you here. Is it a question of Draymond? Is it a question of the defense that the Warriors will be playing? Is it a question of Tatum needing to find a way to get big buckets late in games? Because save for game 6, I understand we can go back to game 6 in Milwaukee where he had a, you know,
all-timer.
An all-time great night.
Yep.
Generally speaking, late in close games, the Celtics have struggled, and Tatum in particular, to find shots and to find baskets.
Right, exactly. And that's going to be the key, you know, component within this series, because when you have Draymond Green, who's an active, very vocal, defensive guy, he's like the middle linebacker for their team, and he sees the court, he's communicating, telling guys where what's happening, what bass screens is coming, you know, to get back on defense. He's communicating that way. But now to see the matchup with him guarding Jason Tatum, who's, to me, is probably one of the most complete players in the game of basketball. Mm-hmm. Fundamentally sound, great footwork. He's balanced when he shoots the ball. His shoulders are square to the basket. All those details prepare you to be a great offensive basketball player, and that matchup's going to be important to see.
Is he the guy they're riding, Perk? Because there have been, as great as Tatum has been, he has been magnificent. There are little tiny question marks. You see the question on the screen. Is he playing well enough to win the championship?
Greeny, he went through Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. He went through Giannis Antetokounmpo, who's arguably the best basketball player in the world. And he just finished up with Jimmy Butler. That's 4 of the top 10 players in the NBA that Jason Tatum has went through. Look, we could talk about how much of an offensive juggernaut he really is and how he's one of the most elite scorers in the game today. But the thing that impresses me the most about Jason Tatum is his ability to make others around him better and the trust that he have in his teammates, whether it's Grant Williams, Al Horford, the lob to Robert Williams underneath the basket. Look, Jason Tatum's growth, not only throughout the course of the regular season, but through this postseason, has been remarkable. Ime Udoka challenged him to make others around him better. They have an old saying in the locker room, Amari, you might have heard of this because you were a franchise player, I wasn't. Just because we call your play doesn't mean it's your shot. And Jason Tatum got that point now. Just because it's his play doesn't mean it's his shot. So with his ability able to create for others, yes, he can be the best player in this series because he has the trust in his teammates.
That said, all of that said, Zach, we keep seeing the numbers up there on the screen, and Hembo put them up and we saw the full screen. I mean, these are real numbers. They are bad late in close games. They were 29th in the league in that stat all season long. They were bad in these playoffs and even a game that they wound up winning, which was, you know, Sunday night's game 7. They were terrible on the offensive side late in that game. What is that about? And can they beat Golden State, a team this good, with that struggle?
I'm throwing game 7 out the window because I think the pressure of the moment, the magnitude of it got to them a little bit, and they just made a series of awful decisions that will not be in this series. Regular season, yeah, they were bad in crunch time, but as I said before, they didn't play any crunch time once they got good.
Back to game 6 Friday night at home, they don't. They're on the offensive end. They turn it over. They look
panicked. The turnovers are the big issue because the Warriors force a lot of turnovers, and we saw it against Luka. They are not going to give Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown a static floor to look at. They're going to help. They're going to rotate. Yep. And those guys are going to have to make good decisions against a defense that's moving and flying, and Draymond's yelling and screaming.
This is something we can talk about as we go, but I want to get the players in on this. One of the reasons, as this came up on Countdown the other night, potentially for this is they don't have your classic playmaking point guard. Marcus Smart has been terrific as their point guard, but someone who, all right, put the ball in his hands, let's get everybody settled down, he'll create a play, he'll create a shot for somebody else. What, Chris Paul, I'm just trying to think of a perfect example.
They tried that with Kemba Walker and Kyrie Irving.
No,
it didn't work.
Because they were score-first guys, and in this case, they just look discombobulated sometimes on the offensive end. Let's hold that thought. We'll come back to all of it as we continue. Again, the finals start on Thursday night, and we'll talk more about Steph as well. Does he need another championship and maybe a finals MVP this time to write the final chapter of his legacy? We'll talk about what that could mean for the great Steph Curry. Plus, you will not find Lamar Jackson around Ravens OTAs. You will find him on Twitter calling out his critics. We'll show you what he said and tell you what it meant next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Pretty day out there. It is actually 100 days to kickoff of the NFL season, so we're keeping it 100 with the things we're looking forward to. Neek, what are you looking forward to in 100 days?
Oh, it's the group of death. AFC West is full of Super Bowl contenders, and I can't wait to see how it all works out with all of these top-tier quarterbacks. And it's not just the quarterbacks. These teams, especially the Chargers, these teams are pretty loaded. So I'm excited to see who comes out of that and see if they can get three teams in the playoffs this year.
That's an excellent. I love the World Cup analogy there. Lewis, what are you looking forward to?
Look, I think it's the second-year jump for Trevor Lawrence here under the direction of Doug Peterson now, who is someone who's a Super Bowl-winning coach, has the history as far as tutoring young quarterbacks and getting them to play at a high level. I think we will finally see why Trevor Lawrence was considered a true generational talent when he came out in the draft a year ago. We'll see him unlock that this year.
I like it. And finally, Graziano, how about you?
Yeah, Dominique's right about the AFC West, but I like the storylines in the AFC North. Can Joe Burrow and the Bengals do it again and repeat as division champions? How good will the Browns be? How much will Deshaun Watson be able to play quarterback for them? Can the Steelers figure it out at quarterback? And can Mike Tomlin keep alive his streak of never having a losing season? Can Lamar Jackson and the Ravens bounce back with better health? I think it's a fascinating division that any of the four teams could win and could put multiple teams in the playoffs.
I think that's a really interesting point. And let's focus in on Lamar there for a minute, because I think that clearly is one of the more interesting storylines. Before he can try and bounce back and they can try and bounce back, they probably have to figure out his contractual situation. So for the first time in his career, he's not attending OTAs, as they call them, organized team activities. He's entering the final year of his rookie contract, and he responded on Twitter to criticism of his absence. So Chris Sims criticized Lamar for not being there, and Lamar wrote back to him, "Lamar wants to be Lamar, Chris. This part of OTAs is voluntary, my guy. I will be there, just not on your watch. It's probably other quarterbacks not attending voluntary OTAs either, but since it's Lamar, it's a huge deal. Find something else to talk about." Very quickly, just Dominique, you're my social media guru. How about that? How about him clapping back on social media?
Well, I enjoyed it. Lamar wants to be Lamar, Chris, is the best opening sentence of a tweet that I've heard in quite some time. But, I mean, OTAs are OTAs. I think it's we're making a bit too much out of this, trying to make a story where there isn't one. It's optional. He chose not to go. And I certainly, as a former president of the union, support guys when it says voluntary. It's voluntary, so don't show up. And to be clear, OTAs, I mean, we're reinstalling the same stuff that we're about to install again in training camp that Lamar's been installing for 4 years now. So he's honestly not missing anything. I don't know what he's spending his time doing, and I don't need to know. Man's a league MVP. Do whatever the hell he wants until he gets back there and the workouts and the camps are actually mandatory.
That's fair. And I think in defense of maybe not criticism, but questioning it, if he had a contract situation that was resolved right now, Dan, no one would be talking about this. That's really why this is a story, yes?
Right. There is a Lamar Jackson story. Whether he's at OTAs is not a story. I think it's a bad thing that we do in the football media, take attendance at these voluntary workouts. And I'm not going to criticize somebody for not being there. There is a Lamar Jackson story, which is that he's entering the final year of his contract, and they haven't been able to come to an extension. And it's a very unusual story because this is the rare case where it seems like the player is not pushing especially hard for the deal. The team has made it clear they'd like to do one, but he's been fine with not doing one, and I think that will continue into and possibly through the season if they can't get something done.
Lewis, I mean, I keep trying to figure out at what stage I should start getting worried about this. Like, I don't want to the point that Lamar just made. Like, I don't want to make a big deal out of nothing, but it's starting to feel like it isn't nothing to me. So where are we with this, Lewis? And if that's your franchise, how concerned are you about it?
Look, I'm concerned that he doesn't want to engage. There's no question about that because I don't know what his next move is. He has everything. He holds all the cards right now. Look, yeah, this is OTAs. He doesn't have to be there. That's fine. I'd like for him to be there because of the benefit it has on other players. But look, if he's not going to be there, he's not going to be there. Now, mandatory minicamp, training camp. Lamar doesn't show up for mandatory minicamp. Lamar doesn't show up for training camp. Then you can really start sounding the alarm bells because then you're starting this. Because then you would start to see exactly what his strategy is going to be and really what he's trying to get done. And that is, I'm not playing until I get exactly what I want. See, right now, he's making you believe that, you know what, he's not going to show up for OTA. He'll probably show up for mandatory minicamp. He'll show up for the start of training camp. Maybe he'll bet on himself and play on his fifth-year option, and then we'll see what happens in 2023. Although I would advise him against it. Don't do a darn thing until you get that long-term security. But see, that's the thing. We don't know because he won't say. And that, as Teddy Bruschi has said, is leverage all in and of itself.
How about it, Nate?
I would say one thing that we've learned in the past couple years is it's not a contract dispute until you scrub your social media of all references to the team. So I'm not going to believe that Lamar is the man in anything as long as there are still pictures of Lamar in Ravens jerseys on his Instagram. And I think there are. Last time I checked, we're good in Baltimore. Lamar still has Ravens pictures up. So breathe easy, Ravens fans.
Well, I'm going to look that up right now. I haven't been on his Twitter page in a little while. It's LJ Era something. But tell me, is this something that we should be hyperventilating about?
No, because it's not going to affect this season. My understanding is he'll play for the Ravens this season. I would be surprised if he doesn't show up, Lewis, for mandatory minicamp and for training camp. I would caution against viewing his OTA absence as any kind of statement about anything. I think from what I understand, and again, we'll find out. You're absolutely right. We'll find out. If he doesn't show up for mandatory stuff, then we'll know it's a different story than I believe it is. But everything I've been told is there's not an issue with him and the team, and he's focused on trying to win the Super Bowl this year with the Ravens.
If it's about money, we've learned that the longer you wait as a player, if you can stay healthy, the money gets better and better. He waited till after the Deshaun Watson deal, and now his leverage is a little bit better. So if I'm Lamar and I can get insurance on career-ending injury or even devaluing injury, then I'm waiting as long as I can because it's only going to increase.
And all's well. He's still a Raven on this picture here.
Okay.
Raven. So I think all is well as far as that. I got to go to a break. Awesome, guys. Thank you. 100 days to kickoff, and we're keeping it 100. Meanwhile, we are 2 days until the NBA Finals, and he's a three-time champ. Does Steph Curry need a fourth ring and a Finals MVP to silence any remaining critics he may have? We'll go there, and we'll go here. All right, Zach Lowe, Sneaky Hembo's coming for you. Here we go. Which player has the single-game scoring record in the NBA Finals? Who scored the most in one Finals game? The answer is next. Get up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We are back with Sneaky Hembo Time. Zach Lowe is in the spotlight, and as if there isn't already enough pressure on you with the national TV audience, Dan Graziano, who basically is the best at this segment of all time, he's like the Michael Jordan of this trivia, is here watching. Which player, and I guess it could be Michael Jordan, owns the single-game scoring record in the NBA Finals?
So I just want to preface this by saying I'm on like a 3 or 4 question win streak at this point. Okay.
Seems
so
unnecessary, but okay.
No, it's totally necessary because I'm not going to get this one. I don't think it's Giannis because that would be too obvious. I don't think it's Michael or LeBron because that would be too obvious. I don't remember a big Shaq, like a huge 50, 60 point Shaq game. So I'm just guessing, and I'm going to go out of left field and say all the times that the Lakers lost, the only finals MVP from a losing team, I'll guess Jerry West had a crazy, like, 50-something game.
Is that, Graziano, what were you going to guess?
I always guess Elgin Baylor on these.
Oh, my God, Elgin Baylor is right.
Come on.
Oh, my God. It's Graziano who got it. That is phenomenal.
I get nothing for that. My streak is over.
The answer is Elgin Baylor, who had 61 points.
60-something, you're right.
In game 5 against the Celtics in 62. Rick Barry and Michael Jordan are next. Jerry West is close on the list. He had 53.
The most important thing is Hembo lost. That's the most important.
In this case, yes. But that one counts for Graziano. I absolutely love it. Okay. So let's make our way over and talk about Steph Curry with Amari here, because we had a bunch of other things. Let's dive into Steph Curry and all of this. I don't know if he's going to wind up scoring 62 points and claim that spot as the all-time leader in most points in a championship game. But the one thing missing from his magnificent resume is being the MVP of a finals. In your opinion, Amari, right now, if you had to project, who do you think is the likeliest candidate to be the MVP of the upcoming NBA Finals?
Well, it depends on who wins, right? I think if the
That's part of the question.
I mean, I have the Celtics winning this.
Oh, you do?
I have the Celtics winning.
Okay.
But I feel like if the Golden State Warriors win, Steph Curry will get the finals.
Okay. So then you took me there, sort of a different circuitous route. But is that the likeliest outcome here? Do I have Big Perk as well, as we're having a little moment of? There we go. All right, Big Perk. How about it? How about, because the big question that we're having here is about whether or not Marcus Smart can shut him down. We talked about that at the top of the hour and all the rest of that. Let's say we're living in a world where Amari is wrong, and you, Big Perk, are wrong, and the Warriors beat the Celtics, and Steph does add that missing piece to his legacy. Here's a player who has already done just about everything. What would it mean for him, historically, if all those things happen the next 2 weeks?
Well, Granny, it would mean everything for Steph, meaning I think it would cement him for as being a top 10 player, top 10 great of all time. But see, what happened before I came on, Granny, is Zach tried to call in to transmission and cut my microphone and my IFB so I wouldn't come on here.
Ball
and so we went so we could just get yeah, so we could just so we can just get straight to the meat and potatoes. Because here it is, right? When you talk about Steph Curry legacy, and I'm gonna just go ahead and bring it up, Greeny. You can just sit back and keep a cool booty. Let's talk about, because I've been watching the countdown, and I watched the debate whether or not have Steph Curry surpassed Kevin Durant, or will he surpass Kevin Durant? Where do they rank for as the all-time list? Look, he's already ahead of KD, okay? Because when you think about far as a player resume, right? You think about the resume, you think about the story, you think about what they did, but most importantly, how they did it. And when you look at how Steph Curry has done things, being under one organization, staying put, building it from the ground up, winning multiple championships, building a dynasty there, changing the game forever. I don't know how a person can put Kevin Durant above Steph Curry when it comes down to being on the all-time great list. Look, KD is going to go down as one of the best to ever do it. He's just not ranked ahead of Steph Curry because how and the route that he went about doing things, and that matters.
I think that's such an interesting point to make. And just to give everyone a sense of what Big Perk is talking about, this came up in a huge way. Candidly, it took over NBA Countdown last Friday night when we were in Boston. And the fact, one of the things that did not come up in that discussion, and I'm glad you're bringing it up, and Zach, this is something you'll know well. The Golden State Warriors now are the glamour team in the NBA. They're the most popular team. They drive ratings like nobody else. People forget, when Steph Curry got there, they were a wasteland. I mean, the Warriors had been irrelevant for a decade, and that's not something we talk much about. But Steph didn't leave Golden State to go play with KD in Oklahoma City. KD left Oklahoma City to go play with Steph in Golden State, and that's not something before Steph got there anybody would have wanted to do.
Why are we talking about Kevin Durant?
Because
the Nets lost in the first round of the playoffs. The finals are happening.
They're
loving all of this.
Because
the Boston Celtics, like, we're here. We're in the finals. Anyone want to talk about our players?
I understand that. But, I mean, there is a factor here because Kevin Durant chose to leave a team to go join up with the 73-win juggernaut, and they win a couple of titles.
He
then he chooses to leave. And to your point, they've been home 36 days, and Steph is still standing
still
there. That's what we're talking about.
Still going. And look, I don't care where you want to rank Steph, 9th, 10th, 11th, 14th. He's already, right now, today, doesn't play a second of this finals for whatever reason, an all-time great player. Would a finals MVP burnish his legacy? Yeah, sure. I mean, what is it going to hurt? Of course it's going to burnish his legacy. It's going to bump him up one or two spots, whatever it is. I think he should already have a finals MVP. He doesn't. And so we go into this finals with this question. And I do, but to your original question, regardless of your pick in this finals, I think he is the most likely finals MVP simply because if Golden State wins, he's getting it, barring some kind of miracle, where you can see a scenario where Boston wins and, like, Jaylen Brown has a crazy series
sure.
or something like that.
Oh, there are a lot of ways I could
Zach.
See it going with this update. Go ahead, Amari. Jump in here.
You know what's interesting is, see, I trained with Steph Curry when I was in the NBA in the summertime, and I watched his career play, and I've never seen a player that plays the way Steph Curry does, right? He has a level that no one can get to. The way he scores, simply the easiest. I have never seen a player score as easy as he can. And also, he's a great facilitator. See, what goes unnoticed with Steph Curry is he's also a beautiful passer. Like, his passes are, like, on the money. The bounce pass is fundamentally sound. It bounces right there straight to the numbers. The chest pass is on the numbers. Everything is, like, you know, above board. And I think Steph Curry right now is solidifies one of the greats, regardless of if you get the finals MVP.
I didn't know you were going to say that. Perk, I'm coming in a second. I promise you. I need to hear what it's like training with him because, I mean, we knew he was a good shooter coming out of college. We didn't know he was going to be this. We didn't know he was literally going to change the way the game of basketball is played, perhaps forever. Did you see that? Like, when you're training with him as a young player, did you see that coming?
I saw it coming, man. I saw it. I mean, the way he trained, everything you see on the basketball court that he does, he works on it in practice. So a lot of the young guys, a lot of the youngsters right now watching Steph Curry, and he's their idol. But the thing is, he put the time in on the practice court when no one's around. Like, those high finger roll layups off the glass that drops all net, those are plays or, you know, moves he works on in the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're seeing all the preparation he puts in the offseason is now paying off. So for the next generation, understand, like, it's about working hard in the offseason to get yourself prepared for NBA season. Mm.
That's really interesting. That's not something I knew we were going to get today, and I'm glad we did. Go ahead, Ben Perko.
No, you know what? I just wanted to follow up on Amari's point because I'm glad he brought it up because a former teammate and a former brother of mine, and Brian Scalabrine, had the same praise for Steph Curry from being around Steph Curry. He was saying today, he tell his kids on his AAU team, hey, if you want to be a great, watch Steph Curry. If you want to know how to work hard, just ask me and I'll tell you because Steph Curry puts the time in. But Greeny, we cannot let Zach off the hook that easy from avoiding the question that was at hand. Look, I watched the segment, okay?
No,
I watched the segment.
You made the question.
No. Here's the thing. I watched the segment just now on Lamar Jackson. Okay, I watched Lamar Jackson fire away at Chris Sims on Twitter. Zach, at the worst thing that could happen if you answer this question and you choose Steph Curry and put and rank him above Kevin Durant is that he's going to fire at you on social media. It may last for about a day or two. That's it, Zach.
You done been through way worse.
listen. You done been through way worse just dealing with Big Perk on a day-to-day basis. We're still on television. I just want to know. We all want to know. Greeny asked you about the all-time all-time list, and where do you rank Steph Curry and Kevin Durant?
You did. You just made it up. Yeah. You hijacked the segment.
Okay,
well,
I did because we had the conversation earlier today. So
what is your question,
Bert? I just want to know. Listen, Zach, you know what the question is, Zach. We talked
about
it already.
KD or Steph Curry, Zach Lowe, go. When I do my all-time list, I don't care about social media. When I do my all-time list, right now, today, Kevin Durant is above Steph Curry. Sue me. Throw stones at me. What are we doing here?
Here's why. This is what Jalen said. I'm not putting words in anybody else's mouth. That if the two of them came down to the playground, everyone would take Kevin Durant first because he's 7 feet tall and Steph Curry is 6'2". And you just look at that, and your inclination is to say, well, that guy's better than that guy. But when you actually look at what they've done in their career, if you're looking at blind resumes, at this moment, I think Steph's is better. I don't think that's insulting to anyone. I think Steph's is better than Kevin Durant if you just took everything else out of the equation and put on paper what they've done.
I don't agree. I don't want to get into the whole resume. We just spent this whole time talking about Finals MVP, what a big deal Finals MVP is. It doesn't matter that the other guy got two of them when he was Steph's teammate. We're just going to dismiss that. Statistically, statistically, it's probably edged Durant. You know what happened? You know what really happened if they came down to the playground? If they came down to the playground, you know what would happen? Everyone would say, wow, two of the greatest 12 or 13 NBA players ever are here. What an honor. We're not going to argue over which one of you is better.
Well, if you have first pick, though, you might argue over who you
would take. I would take Durant with first pick if I'm trying to win. Who cares?
Perk, give us one final word on all of this.
No final words.
Zach brought up the two finals MVPs and how we're sitting up here talking about Steph fighting to get his first finals MVP. It goes back to my original point, the how. How did Kevin Durant get those two finals MVP? I'll tell you how, because he had to go join the 73-9 Warriors. That's how, Zach. That's how. He went and joined the team that was already established.
No one is debating any of this. No one is debating. The 2022 NBA Finals are between the Warriors and the Celtics. What are we doing?
I have to go with that. Here's the best thing. Is that Kendrick Perkins is right now sitting in a studio arguing with himself. That's exactly what's going on here, and I love it. Okay, what am I doing next? I don't even know where I'm going here, Tori, because we've lost complete control of this. Oh, there you go. All-time best. This is the comparison. Durant has won two. We've just lost Zach Lowe for the rest of the day. And Steph has won three. There's the zero. You see the zero on the right side. That's the one thing that he's missing. All right, Zach Lowe needs to write an article and do an entire edition of the Low Post podcast on this subject and this alone. All right, as we continue on a very busy morning on Get Up, in which we have lost complete control of the proceedings. Let's do like or don't like, Zach. Here we go.
We're doing this now?
Let's use some of it.
There's a Celtic. The Celtics are in the finals. One thing I like is Jaylen Brown. He flashed in Game 7 a couple really nice hesitation dribbles. Watch him freeze, bam, and then make a simple, not simple, but like the easy, clear kickout pass. He's got a sneaky. Here's another one. Bam's coming to help. Oh, freeze him, and then he's gone away. That's how you have to play against the Warriors. Make this simple play. Don't overthink it. And again, good spacing for the Celtics right there. So Jaylen Brown flashing some creativity. It's been a little shaky off the dribble. If this Rob Williams is the one who shows up in the finals, hobbled, uncertain, like he got the ball here, we didn't see it, but in a position to go at the rim and he just didn't do anything and then throws it to Al Horford on the sideline, he just looked totally out of it in Game 7, immobile. Here's another one. Like, normally this is up, dunk, boom, and he brings it down. He's just uncertain with the ball. They need peak Robert Williams to beat the Warriors. If there's one team you can't be compromised mobility-wise against as a big man, it's this team. And just a subtle thing, we talk about switching with the Warriors. It sounds easy in theory. They make it so hard because you're switching screens in which Steph is running off the screen. So you have to go over the top, and then you're stuck on Jordan Poole's back because you had to chase Stephen Curry over the top. And these guys get backdoor cuts. Here's Otto Porter, and it's Clay. You're stuck on Otto Porter's backdoor cuts. It's just a little thing when you have the two greatest shooters of all time
running off those screens. It sounds easy to switch them. It's not. You end up giving up backdoor layups.
That was really good. And I must say, Amari was nodding along as you were doing it along there.
He's seen it up close. Absolutely. I haven't just seen it on TV, really.
Stuff to watch for the upcoming NBA Finals. And that's coming up Thursday night. Meanwhile, tonight we have a WNBA doubleheader that features four of the top teams in the league, including Diana Taurasi and Tina Charles and Skylar Diggins-Smith. And the Mercury take it on Candace Parker and the defending champion Sky. That's at 7 on ESPN2. And then the Sun and the Aces coming your way following that one. Great doubleheader action coming your way tonight on ESPN. As we continue, this is interesting. Dak Prescott calling out all the Dallas doubters. See exactly what he had to say after this. You're watching Get Up on ESPN. That was hilarious. That was so funny. All right, we're back with 100 days until the start of the NFL season. Dan Graziano, let's run the hurry up through some notes. What's up with Gronk?
Yeah, one bit of unfinished business for the Buccaneers, waiting to find out whether Rob Gronkowski wants to come back and play. They're giving him the time to decide whether he wants to retire, whether he wants to come back and play. There's optimism that he will ultimately decide to come back and run it back with Tom Brady one more time. But as of now, he remains undecided, and they continue to wait. Speaking of people who are waiting, the Carolina Panthers, you know, they have Sam Darnold, they drafted Matt Corral, but they're still kind of on the lookout for quarterback upgrade. I believe they would be involved if Baker Mayfield got released. They talked about trading for him, didn't come to an agreement with the Browns. And Jimmy Garoppolo, once he shows he's healthy, he should be able to throw in about a month. Once he shows that he's healthy, expect Carolina to be a team that is at least a little bit interested in finding out if they can bring him in via trade with the 49ers. Out of Dallas OTAs, hearing a lot of positive things about Ezekiel Elliott. I know this is kind of a stop me if you've heard this before situation, but the Cowboys believe Elliott looks good, that he has recovered from the knee injury that significantly affected his performance over the second half of last year, and they still anticipate a big role for him. Remember, he's got the fully guaranteed money this year, so they couldn't do anything with this contract. If it isn't a great year for him, could be his final one in Dallas.
Well, that's interesting. There's some other Cowboys stuff to get to today, including Dak Prescott. So Dak was kind of responding to some of the criticism that he's received and his team has received, and he said, talent is one thing, but if you don't fulfill it, it doesn't really mean anything. I'm excited for those guys, meaning the players who departed this offseason, for them to prove people wrong. I know what this team has. We definitely didn't take a step back. We're going to continue to get better, and that's what this offseason is about, and that's what moving forward is. So those are the things that he's saying. In the meantime, he might have someone else now that he needs to have a word with, and that's our own Dan Orlovsky, who was on Twitter this morning and tweeted the names of 10 quarterbacks that you win because of. Spoiler alert, Dak Prescott's name is not on this list. You see who they are. Dominique, go ahead. Representing the Prescott family, go.
No, I love Dan. I'm excited for him to do games this year. I think it's going to be incredibly fun and informative. But this is just foolishness. Like, I don't even know how you define this. So the rest of the quarterbacks in the league are causing their teams to lose? Like, it just doesn't make any sense. Dak is certainly in the class with these other quarterbacks. That's fine. Whether Dan thinks so or not doesn't change the fact that it's true. The stats support it. You watch the games that support it. But last year, I think the Cowboys struggled, and they could get better with lesser talent if they improve. Consistency from Dak is one of the places where they need to improve, and late game execution. All that aside, Dan's list is fun. Give us something to talk about in May and June. Thanks a lot, Orlovsky, for that foolishness.
Well, I think just as far as what he means by it, I think that there is a distinction in his mind, and maybe there's of others, that there are some quarterbacks you win with and others you win because of. Yes. We have this guy, so we are going to win. And Aaron Rodgers is that guy, and Tom Brady is that guy, and he's putting together another list. And Lewis, I guess I bring you in on all of this because I'm contractually obligated to. What do you think of Dan's list?
Look, I think every one of those guys that, you know, on that list, those teams have won games because of them. They've also lost games because of them, because of maybe bad decision-making and or inaccurate throws or what have you at different points in time. I mean, that's really just a list to really just kind of turn over and talk about. But look, Dak Prescott, you could put on there just as well as you could put Derek Carr in there. Dak Prescott, you could put on there just as well as you could put Russell Wilson on there. Russell Wilson cost his team many football games last year with Seattle. He also helped them win some games. Dak Prescott at the first half of last year, we were talking about him being an MVP. Dan Orlovsky, along with many other people, were talking about the fact that this was a guy who, at the beginning of last year, was playing as well as he had ever played at any point in his career and really had Dallas humming right along. Look, I think what Dallas's issue this year is going to be about this. It's going to be about exactly what Dominique talked about. It's going to be about situational football, clock management, fourth down, whether you go for it or punt type of management. Game management situations is really where they're going to get a competitive advantage and or be the same old Dallas as they've always been. That doesn't mean that there aren't situations, or rather areas of their football team that they need to improve and that they may have taken a step back in terms of talent. But that is really where the competitive advantage is going to come with them.
Nick, you look perturbed.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's as if these are players are on isolated teams. We saw what Tom Brady looked like at the end in New England. It wasn't because Tom Brady's a quarterback that you don't win with. It's because he wasn't surrounded with the best talent and allowed to optimize his ability. All these guys are in very good situations. You put them in bad situations, they'll be bad. The same could be said about Dak Prescott also. You put him in a great situation, he puts up MVP-level numbers. You put him in a bad situation, he does not perform.
Sure.
Dan's a quarterback, so he feeds into this QB-centric sports culture that we have, and it's a bit absurd to suggest that these are the type of guys that no matter where you put them, no matter what you surround them with, that they're going to make you win.
Graz, finish it.
And by definition, Matthew Stafford did not win games in Detroit. By definition, he is not on this list. I think, you know, I don't want to get into how you spell Russell. That's not an issue. But my point is, I think there is such a thing as, like, there's a group of quarterbacks you win because of, and there's a group of quarterbacks you can win with. I don't think that the list of these guys is 10 names long.
No,
I honestly don't. I don't think there's
that. We all love Dan. And then there's Monday Dan. And now there's Twitter Dan.
Tuesday.
We love,
because Monday was a holiday.
We love all our Dans. I have to go. I could do this forever. I love you. Guys, thank you very much. Thanks for the morning here. We got great hockey tomorrow night here on ESPN and the app. Game one, Eastern Conference Finals. Rangers, they won out of a game 7 last night. They'll take on the Lightning. We're looking to win their 3rd straight. Should be awesome. Coverage begins tomorrow night, 8 Eastern, from the Garden. Okay. Speaking of awesome, First Take is up top of the hour here. How long is the Warriors championship window? And should KD and Kyrie be right now filled with regret? First Take, Molly, Stephen A., JJ, Kendrick, top of the hour, ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I want to make sure you know our next 30 for 30 film is titled The Greatest Mixtape Ever. It premieres tonight, 8 Eastern on ESPN. The story of how VHS tapes, if you remember those, plus a DJ and streetball players transformed the culture of basketball in the 1990s. It'll be available on ESPN Plus immediately following the premiere. All right, great fun and great spirit today. Great to be back. I will be coast to coast on ESPN Radio in 60 seconds. But the fun continues here with First Take now.